Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word today and let the spirit show us your way. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Before we go into a new series of studies for 4 Sundays on the book of Proverbs, again, I'd like to refresh your mind that this book that I hold in my hand called the Bible has 2 sections. In English, it's called the Old Testament, which is really the Old Covenant. God made a covenant with mankind in Genesis 3:15 that the son of a woman will save humanity. Look into Jesus. And then there is another section of the Bible called the New Testament, New Covenant, where that promise of God is fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is an absolutely complete Bible from the beginning of the earth until the end. We need no extra books. We need nothing else than this book. Also, I was driving this morning, early in the morning, when I set up the church before the choir came in and made the coffee, to be sure, strong Latin coffee. And somebody had the courage to say on radio, it was a religious program, that, yes, he was talking about the Bible, and I was in KGO radio station, I wish I can call it. And the man said, well, you know, the Bible has many authors, and it's good, it's true. Many authors, actually many writers, I will say, no authors, it's only one author. Many writers. And then he said, because God, who understands psychology, through the years he was changing psychology, adapting the message to the new generation. I want to tell you that is absolutely wrong. Let me show you a text in the Bible in 2 Peter chapter 1, which is on page 1325. By the way, you have an outline in the bulletin and the insert there. There's an outline of the sermon. And also, I will give you the page number of the Bible that is in the pew, which is the Bible that I preach from. In 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, and in verse 20, the Bible said, knowing these verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now look it out, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time and by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Hard to believe. I have students who are super smart, almost getting their doctor degree, who question this. Who wrote the Bible? The Bible answered that question. God did it. And God used different men from Moses all the way to John the disciple in the book of Revelation to really give us his word. Many writers, only one author, God himself. Now, having said that prerequisite for you to understand what I'm going to say, what follows, we start today on the first Sunday of August of the year 2011, we start a series of 4 sermons for counseling for living. A lot of people call in, why I should do this, why I can do this, and they ask for counsel. And the best counsel is written here. And so today I'd like to share with you Proverbs. And all these 4 Sundays will be on the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs is a teaching on human responsibilities. I was counseled by Dr. Billy Graham one time when I was with him in his home, that if you read a chapter of the book of Proverbs a day, you are immune to the system of the world. And so today is 7, you read chapter 7, tomorrow will be 8, you read chapter 8, and you do it all over again and again and again. I have that in my little computer, so when I go to the gym in the morning, I put my book of Proverbs, and sometimes doing this gymnastics, I say, hallelujah, and people look to me thinking, you know, it's just the Bible. It's amazing what you learn as you listen over and over the scripture. So the book of Proverbs teaches human responsibilities. And actually, if you read from Proverbs chapter 1 all the way to chapter 31, you see one key common denominator, and that is obedience to God's word. The book of Proverbs to me say one thing: you obey God's word. Doesn't say memorize God's word. Doesn't say be eloquent and knowing God's word. The book of Proverbs is King Solomon is saying to his son, you obey God's word. Now, if you look with me in verse 1 in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 7, and in verse 1, it said, my son, keep my words. So the word keep is the word obey. Actually, the word keep is an interesting word, is the word shamar. And shamar means to listen. Of course, in America, that's why the translators in the King James put the word keep. In America, if you say, listen to me, it means nothing to you. You listen, and then you pick up your choice. Now, when in Hebrew you say shamar to a child, he knows what happened. He's going to listen and do what you said. And that is what that word in verse 1, in chapter 7, verse 1 is. You listen and you follow through. Now, let me show you in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, page 1276 in the Bible. Let me show you how the New Testament translates. That's so practical. You said, of course, a Greek word, but it's the same idea. Look at here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, the translators, again, has used the word obey, but the word is listen. Hupokomai. Listen to your parents. Listen. It's not, it's okay, mama, what you want? No, mama, what do you want me to do? Would be the idea. All right? It's a different story altogether. One thing is if you say to your son, listen, son, okay, tell me. No, no, no. That's not the answer. Now, what I'm supposed to do will be the answer. You got the idea of the vocabulary occurs? God doesn't give you options. He wants you to obey. So obey, shamar. It signifies a response to something one hears. In opposite to a passive listening. Some people say, listen, oh yeah, well, I maybe agree or disagree. That's not the way with God. When God said, listen, you must agree and you must follow. Now, that gives you a flavor. And I only have time for 5 verses this morning. And that gives you a flavor of what God is going to say. Today's paragraph is in chapter 7, and I entitled this, Counsel for a Better Living. I took that out of so many questions so far in the year. About 36 people called the office and said, what must I do to have a better living? Well, here's the answer today. Not from me, but from God. Counsel for better living is described in 3 fundamental principles here in the book of Proverbs. Number one, the Bible shows us the demands for better living. Not the options, the demands for better living. Then secondly, the delight for better living. And then finally, the dynamics, how better living really works when you follow God. So let's work together. We're going to work on the scripture, and I'm going to show you the text. I'm going to show you the page, because I want you to see it. And I want you to get the benefit of this, so that in spite of the market going down, in spite of the conditions of the universe, in spite if it's hot or cold, in spite of anything, there is a concept of God that you can have a better living any place in the world. All right, here it is. The demands for better living. There must be an inculcation of God's word. I choose that word carefully because I am one who suffered that when I was young. From the time I have memory at 4 years old until 12, I grew up with my grandparents who were Arabs and who came to know the Lord by an American missionary in 1907. And grandma would read the Bible in Arabic language with a guitar. I hate it. But grandma knew how to make raw chocolate and put it in a can there. We have not the fancy stuff you have here. She showed me how to chuck the wood and put the wood in and make the heat and all of this. And the chocolate smell, and grandma would read the scripture. I care less about the scripture, but I smell the chocolate. No knowing that doesn't matter how I care, God did care for me and put that word in my mind. Later on, at 8 years old, I have Switzerland missionaries, French Switzerland missionaries, will come into my house, and I have to sit down in the afternoon at 5 p.m., which is tea time, and eat those tomatoes with the cookies, and then these missionaries will read the Bible for an hour. I said, Lord, they don't have anything else to do. You know, it's amazing. But God was putting things into my head, all right? Now, here it is. There must be an inculcation of God's word. Look in verse 1. Two words are very important. The Bible said, my son, keep my words. The word of God must be fixed. The word keep my word, fixed firmly in your mind through frequently forceful repetition. It's not just you read one day, you keep on reading and you keep on reading and you go over the same passage over and over and over again. Dr. Billy Graham's method of reading every day a chapter of the book of Proverbs according to the day is fantastic. It is going to give you a strong belief in what God said. And so keep my word, hide my words, put it on. Now look at what the book of Psalms says in Psalm 119 and verse 11. Remember that beautiful long psalm, Psalm 119 and verse 11. Look at what the Bible says. It says, thy word, said the author of the psalm, perhaps Ezra, thy word have I hid in my heart, have I kept in my heart. The same word hid, the same word kept. The same word in the original. Hid in my heart. The eye may no sin against thee. If you want to really overcome the sin and the temptations of the world and all your wickedness, if you really want to have that, overcoming that, you need to take the tablet of reading God's word over and over and over again in your life. There are so many ways to do it. You can drive and listen to God's word. You can do exercise like I do, and I listen to God's word. And I'm not passive when I listen to God's word. I don't know what happened to me. I just start yielding. And people think it's very bad to be around me, so they take two or three steps ahead from me. But that's all right. You know, it is beautiful. Keep thy word. Read thy word. People call in and say, where is that passage, Pastor? Oh, read the whole book of James. No, but what verse? Read the whole book. It's there. I know what verse is, but I forcefully say that. Read the whole book so you have 5 minutes in your life reading God's word. Should be the first thing you do in your life. Before the newspaper, before they ruin your mind, the bankruptcy of the United States, before you take the junk of the world into your head, you should take the holy word of God into your mind. Your life will change. Keep thy word. And now look at verse 1 also. They say, and, that means there are two things important for you, son. One, you hide the word of God into your mind. Lay up my commandments with thee. Lay up the commandment is to treasure. All of you have some treasure, don't we? When I was my 50th wedding anniversary, I used to have a ring that my uncle, a great believer, gave me at his death. He died at 48. We were body. I grew up with my uncles and grandparents, so I grew up with elderly people. He took his ring before he died. He put it into me. He said, I see you later. And he closed his eyes. And you are 15 years old. You know, your heart pumps. What that mean? That ring never left my finger until I got 50. I put the ring away. And I told my wife, you just give me a man ring. I used to have a tiny little, you know, ring, very thin, you know, looks like a woman ring. I need a man ring. All right, a cowboy ring. All right, and this is with me. That's it. See, it is a treasure. It is a treasure. And I know you ladies maybe have some little thing that is very precious to you, and you hide it in a place because that is your treasure. That is really your treasure. Lay up the commandments of God like a treasure. Now, why? God explained that. Put one hand here and go with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, page 1043. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Treasure. Why God talks about the Bible should be a treasure. Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see it now? If your treasure is the Word of God, that's what your heart is. And so before any action, before you are young, before you choose a companion for your life and get married, you go to God and you say, God, what is it? What should I look for a companion? I'm a girl, I'm 16, 15, and I'm experiencing some thoughts about the opposite sex, which is good. And so, God, what should I do? You go to God and take from the treasure high. In other words, the Word of God is hidden inside your heart, and now you can go to your Word, the Word of God. And so here is the secret for you. You need to be inculcated in the Word of God. Penetrate it into your mind until you are saturated with the Word of God. The enemy will hate it, but God will love it, and you will be successful. Number two, there must be a perception of the Word of God. Look at back to Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 2. There must be a perception of the Word of God. It says, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye, as the pupil of your eyes. The pupil of the eye is what your body sees is empty. There's nothing there. It's a hole. It's black because it has the focus and the distance to the nerve and it produces a black spot, but it's empty. And so whatever that pupil sees is what your body really sees. And so look at verse 2 again. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws as the pupil of your eye. Did you see it, what I said? The pupil is what, when you look on it, the pupil gives you the perception, takes only what your brain can take. That's why you cannot see like that. You only see this. And whatever you see with your pupil is what your brain understands. Now, the Bible said, your Bible should be the pupil. When something happens, you take the Bible and say, what must I do? What does God want me to do? You see everything through the Bible. Now, I'm talking about counsel for better living. You say, my husband is this, my wife is this, my children are this. Well, look, your wife, your husband, your children through the Bible. How can I handle my wife? Look in the Bible. How can I handle my husband? Look in the Bible. Look through the pupil of the Word of God. Amazing. There must be a perception of the Word of God. Use the Word of God as the one who gives you the perspective of life. Business. A lot of people say, well, business are bad. No, sir, I'm not bad. I'm okay. You say, why? Because you use the Word of God. You don't take loans that you cannot pay. Is that right? You don't get cars that you cannot drive. So, well, you know, why? Somebody drives a Mercedes. Why I don't drive a Mercedes? Because you cannot pay it. And you pay. I remember when I came to America, I asked my friend, I'm going to buy a car, but I'm going to buy a car that I can pay the gasoline and I can pay the car off and I enjoy it. And so I bought a little Volkswagen, remember in the 60s? And I went to Yosemite every weekend that I was here for $3.20 round trip. Enjoying myself. I look back. My daughter was 2 years old. I put it in the back. I like to scale mountains. My wife was down. And I was my peak going up the mountains and enjoying $3.29. And everybody with these big American cars, they can obey it. What I learned in the Bible. The Bible said, if you're going to build a tower, find out how much costs. See? Very simple. It's not what you want, it's what you can. Young people, you cannot have what your parents have. They have a life work on it. So you go through the process of life. There must be a perception of the Word of God. There must be a preservation of the Word of God. Look in verse 3. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 3. Bind them upon thy fingers. And look at here. Write them upon the table of thy heart. There must be a perception of the Word of God. We can memorize God's Word, but unless we apply God's Word to our heart, we'll fail to obey. Now, this is very important. The actions of our hands are the results of the passions of our heart. You know that? How do I know that? Well, you are in Proverbs 7. Go with me to Proverbs 23. Now, if you do not have a King James Bible, I feel sorry for you because then these verses translate like crazy. Proverbs 23. And look with me at verse 7. Again, I said, if you don't have a King James Bible, any other translation, they miss the boat very far away. 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why Proverbs said, write them upon the tables of your heart. Because with your heart, you command your life. And if the Bible is in your heart, then your life will be like the Bible. I tell you, our belief should be equal to our actions. Isn't that right? For example, in Ephesians 5 said, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Have you ever seen in the scripture a complaint of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father because we the believers do not follow him right? He never complained. Husband, you love your wife. You choose her. She's your baby. You just keep it and enjoy it. Husband said, love your wife. And then wife, respect your husband. Each one of us men are a bundle of we are like babies when we grow up. We want our way, you know, and anything is make us uneasy. So wife, put up with us. Because that's what the Bible says, respect your husband. Never forgot, when one of these chairs, one person came for counseling, and the man took all the money on Friday and went to Lake Tahoe and gambled the whole salary. So they came to our church, and they were sitting in. This man, she said, and she grabbed this chair, and she lifted up, and I knew going to break the chair in his head. I said, please, don't break my chair. I don't know about his head, but my chair, please. Don't break my chair. It costs so much money. Talk to my karma, put it there. You see, some of us husbands really deserve a shaking like that. But that's not the way. You respect the husband. You say, you know, darling, I think this is wrong. Look in the scripture. Don't say, I. Look in the scripture, said to him. That's the only way. And so here is what the Bible said. There must be a preservation of the Word of God as a result of keeping that preservation in our heart. Our belief should be equal to our actions. Newspapers are calling all the churches asking, Will you accept homosexuals? They got 3 or 4 calls in your church. I said, it's not up to me. No, it's up to God. I said, would God accept homosexuals? I said to the reporter in the Mercury. He said, what God said? Oh, good. Sit down. I'm going to read Romans 1. And I read it. He said, oh, that's very divisive. Well, you told me if God, if we accept homosexuals, we only accept what God accepts. You see, keep it in your heart and we'll save your problem. So the demands of better living, you have to make the Bible the pupil of your life. That's it. You cannot say my personal opinion, what I want. You can. You can. You can. You have to say what the Bible says. And if you do that perfectly, oh boy, what a life you will have, you and I will have. Secondly, the delights for better living. The key to a life of healthiness. Look in verse 2, chapter 7, verse 2. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my commandments and live. You know, we are made of three things. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:23 said that we have a soul, a spirit, and a body. Have you seen that? Let me show it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, page 1289. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, page 1289. Here's what the Bible says. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your Holy Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. And so we are made of three things. Now, the Catholic Church thinks we are made dichotomous. The Presbyterian Church said that we are made dichotomous. But not. There are three different Greek words. One is for a soul, the other for a spirit, and the other for the body. And so the Bible said here in Proverbs chapter 7, in verse 2, very clearly, and my laws, keep my commandments and live. That means if you keep your commandments, you are healthy in your spirit. If you keep God's commandment, you are healthy in your body. In other words, the wholesome structure that you are made, you really are blessed if you keep the commandments of God in that way. The key of healthiness, a healthy life, is a life that keeps the commandments of God. I need a little glass of water. Thank you. Now, the key to holiness, look at in verse 2 again. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws as the apple of your eyes. In other words, holiness is conformity to the Word of God. That's holiness. You know, you got some time pictures. Thank you. You got some time pictures of people who are holy and they have a little thing on the top of the head. It is not that that makes you holy. It's something that you have in your heart and that you obey. And so the key to a life of holiness is a conformity to the Word of God. You conform your life according to the Word of God. Young people, if your parents said, no, you cannot do that, that's healthy because they are helping you to do that. Holiness. Well, my first church I pastored in Newark, California, there was the president of Railroad Track, Santa Fe Railroad Track, as a member of the church, just married. And they have a little boy, 2 years old, and he became to know the Lord, Jesus, in our church in Newark, California. And then I taught Proverbs heavily on that church. And then, because I have a lot of young couples, and then he taught that boy day and night, read the scripture. And we had an evening service, more than 500 people with questions and answers and so on. We were renting in a school. And then it was a full moon night. And so I walked out, and this little boy, now 4 years old, walked out with me. And he saw the full moon. And you know what he said? He said, oh, God, turn on the flashlight. You know something? God turned on the flashlight. That's what the boy cannot understand what the moon and the sun is. But daddy said the moon and the sun were created by God, and the moon is God's flashlight so we can see over the night. I tell you, the key to a life of holiness is to have that embedded on you. And the key to a life of happiness is faithfulness to that word that you know. We know the word. You read it. And some people who want to do wrong, they said, well, what that mean means what the Bible says. That's it. Now, the dynamics for better living. Here it is. Encouragement, verse 4. Say unto wisdom, which is the word, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy relative of kinswomen, which is a relative. Wisdom is the word of God. And then he said, make the word of God a relative, and you will have encouragement. Let me show it to you. Romans chapter 15, in page 1236. Romans chapter 15. And look in verse 4, page 1236. Look at verse 4. Encouragement. Proverbs says, say unto wisdom, say unto the word of God, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy relative, thy kinswoman. Look at Romans 15, 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, or in the past, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scripture, might have what? Hope. If you believe this book, the Bible, you are a person who have hope. Because God never failed. You have a child who is a problem. Read what the Bible said about treating him, and you will have hope. You have a marriage who is a problem. Read what the Word of God said, and you will have hope. In other words, the dynamics of a better living is encouragement. The Word of God is not a punish book. It's a book of encouragement. Also admonishment. Look at in verse 4 again. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. It's admonishment. And look at how carefully. And call understanding thy relative. Understanding. Make understanding a beloved member of your family. Understanding. Now, you know, when people ask you what the Bible is good for, there is one answer for that. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, which is an... right here, I'll tell you in a minute. 2 Timothy 3, in verse 16, page 1298. And somebody said to you, what the Bible is good for? Now, here's the answer. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Wow. Ladies, you want a perfect husband? Let him read the Bible twice a day. Twice a day. Amazing. Truly furnished unto all God's works. Look at the Bible is good for doctrine. The word doctrine is the word teaching. It's good for teaching. I call that standard. When people say, I wonder about that. Let me see what the Bible says is the standard. All right? The standard. That's what it is. All right? It is important. All right? For reproof. Reproof is showing you what is wrong. It's not bad. It's showing you, say, no, you're doing this wrong. And then for correction, it's giving you the way. Do you know, if you don't have reproof and correction on the towers, the airplanes flies, your plane will go in the wrong direction sometimes. And because the plane will go in the wrong direction, remember in the 60s when we don't have the sophisticated satellite system? Brother Brother Sherwood here, who was a commercial pilot, he told me one time he ended up in Alaska and he wanted to be to France because he lost, through the wind, he lost the power to move. And then when he was able to read the coordinates, he said, I'm in the wrong place. I'm going to land in the best I can. And not today because you have a complete reading and coordinates on your screen. But this is what it is. It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. In other words, the Bible is a practical book. The Bible is a practical book. When you apply it to your life, oh, how wholesome it is. You know, if you use the Bible as an encouragement and as an admonishing book to your life, you will have a better living. Verse 5 said, that they may keep thee from strange women, from the stranger with flatter with her words. And they give you an example of a bad woman the rest of the chapter. In other words, if you want to keep your life straight and want to keep your life away from anybody who is really strange and want to make you go to the pit, you have to have the book. By yourself, you cannot do it. In order to have the book, not only you need to have the Bible, you need to believe the Bible. In order to believe the Bible, you need to have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Because the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In order to have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you need to have the Holy Spirit put him in. Let me show it to you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It's not just going and buying a Bible. It's just having a Bible and take the proper reactions to the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, and look with me in verse 13. Again, if you have any other translation, make a mess of this verse. Look at what the Bible says. In whom ye also trust after ye heard the word of God. First, you have to hear the word of God. You cannot be saved unless you hear the word of God. That is what God used to save you. You need to hear the word of God. And look at what they said. And the word through the gospel of your salvation. In other words, you need to hear the good news. That in Adam, we are condemned to die. But in Christ Jesus, who paid with his blood for my sins, we are saved to live. You need to hear that news. If you have not believed that, you yet do not understand who you are. If you have not come to believe in the Lord Jesus, you are still yet in your sins, and you cannot understand the Bible at all. Look at what the Bible said. Now, I want you to look the play that the King James Bible does. In whom ye also trust after you. That's an adverb. Ye heard the word of God, the truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believe. So you hear the word of God, and there is a time you hear, but there is a time that you need to come to believe. Now, when you believe, look at what happened here in verse 13. After ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You see how the Holy Spirit comes? You hear the word. And then you believe the word, and then the Holy Spirit take care of you. He put the word of God into your heart. You may say, Pastor, who will teach me the word of God? Now remember what the process is. You hear the word, you believe the word, the Holy Spirit comes. Now look, let's go to John 14. John chapter 14, page 1170. And verse 26. And now look what happened. Once you hear the word, you believe the word, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do in me? Here it is. And by the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. When you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you read the book, the Bible, the Holy Spirit teaches you what that Bible means. Without the Holy Spirit, you can have the best teacher in the pulpit, it means nothing. So what do we learn today? Counsel for better living. It's very simple. We need to read the word and obey the word. Reading a book of history, I found from General Wellington, a British general, what he did with one of his officers. He commanded one of his officers. And the officer questioned him. And he replied with these words, I did not ask your opinion. Our is not to reason why. Our is not to make reply. Our is but to do or die. And I think that should be the motto of our life. It is not our personal opinion. It is not that we are Baptists of this and the other. It is God's opinion. And we need to do what God said or die. That should be Christianity today. No condition to anything, but condition to the Bible. If you do that, you have received counsel for better living. Doesn't depend on your salary. Doesn't depend on the house you live. Doesn't depend on the car you drive. Depends only on your obedience to God, this book called the Bible. If we have today a Christianity that will obey the Bible, this nation will not be in the mess that it is today. May God use His Word to enhance your life. I thought to myself, boy, it's very hard for my grandchildren and the world they are coming into. But you know, when I came to America, my aunt said, it is very hard to go to that evil country. Doesn't change my wife and me, because we were in the Bible. Please, please, believe what God said. Your life will be much different. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the counsel of your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is so powerful. Your word is so beautiful. Your word is so dynamic. They protect us, encourage us, and bring us up in a world that is down. Through the centuries, your word stands strong. And so, Father, motivate us to read it and to apply it to our heart, so that we can have a better life. In Jesus we pray, amen.